Good morning, folks. So we have a young man, Randy, over here. He's going to be with us this morning. He's one of the Gideons. Please introduce yourselves whenever, after the lesson and everything like that. And he'll have a few minutes whenever we do our normal service. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Father, I thank you so very much for this country that you've established where you have freedom to worship you. Father, we see so many other places around the world that doesn't have that freedom, that can't even possess your word in their hands, but yet we have it in digital form, we have it in written form, we have it in visual, on television, through slides, all over the place, and we just don't care. Father, we ask that as a nation that we would turn back to you and turn away from this wickedness that we're going down. We know that you have a plan for each one of us, and we don't trust in a nation. We trust in you and what you've done for us. We trust in the finished work of the cross. And we ask that as we walk through our days that we would allow what we believe to shine through our actions and everything we do. And we ask that give us the ability to continue to do this and open up our hearts and minds as we read through your word this morning and study your word and maybe give each one of us exactly what we need from this lessons that we're going for. I pray for Mike as he comes through his next lesson that we would be receiving of the knowledge that you would have us through your word. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. I'm glad I'm back. Sorry I was gone for so long. But we're in Genesis 40. And that means I got 10 more. Let me a second. I've got to turn this thing to do not disturb. It doesn't ring, don't me. We're in Genesis 40, and that means we got 10 more chapters to go before we're out of Genesis. Can you hear me? Okay. You stuck your hand up, so I was wondering if you could hear me or not. Oh, okay. So let's jump. Let's first set our. It's been a couple of weeks, so let's set the scene of what went on, okay? And we know that we're into the story of Joseph, correct? And we know that Joseph was sold into slavery by his brothers, and they held this information from his father. Then once he was sold into slavery, he went to Egypt. And he was basically purchased as a slave by Potiphar, which was the king's head chopper offer. That's a good word, head chopper offer. Yeah, the guy that took care of business for the king anytime he had some bad guys that he wanted to deal with. And God blessed him in all this, okay? God saw him through his brothers selling him into slavery. God saw him into slavery in Egypt, okay? He led this man to come in here to take him. And then this man saw how God blessed everything that this young Joseph touched. And Joseph was put over all of Potiphar's house. Because everything he touched turned to gold. He had the Midas touch, right? So if he was involved with it, it was going to prosper. And Potiphar's being the guy that he was, wanting more and more and more, you know, of all this earthly things that we covet ourselves. He was like, okay, I've got a golden goose here. We're going to keep him laying eggs. Well, Potiphar's wife had different ideas about Joseph, and Potiphar's wife was seeking after Joseph for physical sexual relief from the situation she was in, and she was chasing after him, he was running, she was chasing, he was running, And she finally got him in the building one day, and he ran so fast he ran out of his clothes and left his clothes there. Just she grabbed him and he jumped out of his clothes and ran. That's a good thing. Whenever we're encountered with by sin, that's what we should be doing. We should be running. We shouldn't be sticking around and getting mixed up inside it, okay? Extricate yourself from the situation. That's exactly what he tried to do. But when he did that, he left this thing, and she was sick and tired. She'd been chasing him for a while, and she was sick and tired. She's like, I got him. So she called all the men folk that are around there and said, hey, this man tried to, this Hebrew, this foreigner, this non-Egyptian that my husband has put over all y'all, he come in here and he tried to have his way with me. Look, I got his clothes to prove it. And then she waited till her husband got home, and he got home, and she told him, and he believed her, and he threw him into prison. And lo and behold, when he got into prison, guess what? He still had the Midas touch, right? When he got into prison, even the prisoner, the head of the prison, saw that everything that Joseph touched, again, turned to gold. Everything that Joseph touched prospered. God made something in this man's life, something in this man that allowed him. God was boosting exactly everything he had did up so that he could prosper Joseph, so he could use Joseph. So now Joseph has been inside the prison, right? And he's been in the prison for a little while. I know this because in a minute he's going to say he's 30 years old, and he was like a kid whenever he was thrown into things. So it's been a few years for the man. He's went through some stuff. Now, so we'll start reading in at 41. We set the scene of how we're at. Okay. Now Joseph is in prison. He's kind of the head guard is giving him like is whatever he needs to do, take care of it, because he trusts that the man's going to do what needs to be done. He trusts that Joseph's going to do what's right. So, Genesis 41. Sometime after this, and when he's talking, sometime after Joseph had been put into prison, sometime after this, the cupbearer of the king of Egypt and his baker, committed an offense against the Lord, against their Lord, the king of Egypt. And Pharaoh was angry with his two officers, the chief cupbearer and the chief baker. So he put them in custody in the house of the captain, the guard, the prison where Joseph is confined. Well, that's an amazing thing. Can we comprehend the power that Pharaoh has? Can any of us even comprehend that? It's hard for us to understand it. We live in a society where we have laws and rights and all this other stuff. Now, we see those rights trampled a lot of times through our political situation. Nothing's perfect. There are people out there, there's bad actors out there that still try to manipulate the system for their gains. But we live in a system that, again, we're in freedom. Where you think in Egypt we'd be allowed to come in this particular time that we'd be allowed to come in and have a different ideas of what they want's going on? No. So Pharaoh, he's the power in this particular area. What he says is law. He has the ability to throw somebody in prison because you displeased him. So he put these people in custody, and he put them in the same place where they had Joseph. So the captain of the guard, it goes back into the captain of the guard, had appointed Joseph to be with them and to attend them, and they continued for some time in custody. Now, I don't know what some time is. Some time could be a week, sometime could be a year. I don't know. They were in custody for some time, whatever the time being is. Again, later on, we'll see that Joseph is 30 years old. So it's been, there's a time frame that's went on here. Because remember, whenever he was sold into slavery, he was still just a young man. So they were appointed over Joseph, and Joseph was appointed to attend these men as they were there. Why do you think that he was, they're prisoners just like him. Why do you think that he was appointed to attend them? But why do you think the guard said, you know what, Joseph, since they're coming in, I want you to take care of these guys? These guys were still bigwigs, okay? They were the guys at the left hand of the Pharaoh. And I'm pretty sure they knew the winds. You know, everybody knew how the Pharaoh was. In the end, we're going to see how one of them's restored and one of them's put to death. I don't want to steal my glory, but we're going to see that. So the Pharaoh can go either way. And if I'm the head of this prison, I want to be on the good side of the people that have the ear of the Pharaoh, right? So it makes sense that they are not small people. They understand. The guard, the prison warden understands the situation, how it is in there. So he's going to put Joseph, he's going to take care of these men. I think he's doing that because he doesn't know what the outcome of their sentence will be. And that's just my feelings, but it doesn't say that here, but it seems to bear out later on whenever we get through this. So, he put Joseph to attend them while they were in custody there. And then one night they both had a dream, they both dreamed. The cupbearer and the baker of the king of Egypt, who were confined in the prison, each his own dream, and each dream its own interpretation. Now, we'll see that the dreams are similar, right? But each one of them have a different dream, and each one of them have a different interpretation of the dream. So, the dreams, they're going to exactly what the dream, And when Joseph came to them in the morning, he saw that they were troubled. Anybody ever had a troubling dream? I'm blessed enough not to remember too many of my dreams. If I wake up, it may be there for a little bit, then it blades away into fogginess. I just don't remember it. I'm not one of these guys that can remember what I dreamed. I guess some people do. But in this particular time, dreams meant something. Whenever you dreamed, a lot of times that was something telling you something. And we see God using dreams to tell them what was going to happen at this particular time. So when Joseph saw it in the morning, he saw that they were troubled. So he asked the Pharaoh's officers who were in his custody. Now, I understand, they're in his custody, right? He's supposed to attend them. If they're troubled, what is that saying? If the person in charge of the prison sees that they're troubled, he's going to come to Joseph and say, why are they troubled? He's supposed to be taking care of them, right? So he sees that they're troubled, and he's like, hey, guys, he sees their trouble, and he says to them, he said, why are your faces downcast today? Why are you not feeling good today? What's wrong? Is there anything I can do to help out? I'm supposed to be taking care of you two guys. What's upsetting you? And they said to him, we have had dreams, and there is no one to interpret them. So evidently, in this culture, when you dreamed, because we see later on there were people that when you told somebody your dream, there was somebody there to interpret what the dream was supposed to mean, right? I'm pretty sure this was like a profession for some people. Hey, what was your dream? Let me tell you what it means. Give me some money. So they're saying we had these dreams, and these dreams were not good dreams. These are dreams that tore at their psyche. And they said that we had these dreams, but we don't have anybody to interpret them. And Joseph said, now Joseph, he was a dreamer, right? What dreams did got Joseph into trouble? He was over his brothers. And then he was over his mother and father, right? So Joseph was a dreamer. Joseph knew a little bit about dreams. Okay? And those dreams have yet to come through, but we see that later on that's how it's going to come to happen. So Joseph knew a little bit about dreams. And Joseph said to them, do not interpretations belong to God? Please tell them to me. Now, it's amazing how Joseph, even after all this time, is still relying upon God. If you had been in his situation, thrown into jail, thrown into prison, all these other things, it's easy to move away. Is it not? God's not helping right now. Look, I'm in prison. Wait a second. I had these dreams that said I'm going to be over my mother and my father. I have all these dreams of grandeur, and look where I am. But Joseph was, he was a man that stood off out for God. He believed in God. He never turned his back on him. So.
FD?
Yes, sir. I would have to see that, because I know that Potiphar was the thing, but they were put into jail, and I'm not exactly sure if Potiphar's over the jail.
He was the captain of the guard.
Yes, but I'm not sure if he's in charge of the prison. So I don't know that. He's the captain,
anyway,
but...
Anyway, since he was the captain, and he turns around and assigns Joseph to take care of these people, that tells you that probably didn't think Joseph was guilty of what he was charged.
Well, like I said, and they don't give, I understand. Oh, the commentary says that? Well, like I said, they don't give his name, so I'm not going to say that, but it's a possibility. Okay. So, what about the dreams? Please tell them to me. So they relent and they say, so the cupbearer goes first. He says, so the chief cupbearer told his dream to Joseph and said to him, in my dream, there was a vine before me, and the vine there were three branches. As soon as it budded, the blossom shot forth, and the cluster ripened into grapes. Pharaoh's cup was in my hand, and I took the grapes and pressed them into Pharaoh's cup and placed the cup in Pharaoh's hand. It's amazing how dreams just don't care about time. It's like, okay, this happened. So he was there. He was looking at these vines. There was three of them that popped up. All of a sudden they budded out. The grapes come out. He took and squeezed them into the Pharaoh's cup, which all of a sudden was in his hand, and he gave the cup to Pharaoh. And Joseph said to him, This is its interpretation. The three branches are 3 days. In 3 days, Pharaoh will lift up your head and restore you to your office, and you shall place the Pharaoh's cup in his hand formerly, when you were his cupbearer. So, I look at the interpretation, I see this interpretation, I'm like, yeah, I can see that. Who here thinks that they could have saw that interpretation without the Bible telling us exactly what it means? It would be hard, wouldn't it? You see where God's moving in this. So just when they tell the interpretation, like, oh yeah, I get that, I can see where that comes in. But put yourself in the position of the person had the dream, and it's like, I can understand that I would not even have any inkling to what this means. There's no context. And God gives the context to what the dream is, right? So, he told us that, and then he said, the only thing I ask is remember me when it is well with you, and please do me the kindness and mention me to Pharaoh so get me out of this house. In other words, remember what I've done for you, man. I've been here. I don't like this place. I've been here a while. This is not a good place to live. If you believe me, and if what I say comes true, and I don't think he has any doubt to what he said was going to come true. So when this happens, please remember me. Remember what I've done for you. You know, give me a little bit of you know, help me out a little bit here. Yeah, I don't know about all that. Yeah, okay. So, anyway, he says, "Get me out of this house, for I was indeed." Man, he goes on to tell his story to the man. He's like, "For I was indeed stolen out of the house, out of the land of Hebrews, and here also I have done nothing that they should put me in this pit." In other words, he's saying, I was taken from my own house. I was stolen. It was an unjust act happened to me. Okay. I should have not been put in this position. And then when I got here, I didn't do anything wrong. This woman was chasing me around and she told her husband a lie and they threw me into jail. I'm innocent. And like, you know, Coach just said, he's like, there's no guilty men in prison. All are innocent in their own eyes. I'm pretty sure that's what he thought. I think, yeah, okay, right. Anyway, I don't know. I put myself in their position. So I don't like drawing stuff in that's not here. So now we go on to the baker. And when the chief baker saw that the interpretation was favorable, in other words, when the chief baker saw that, hey, that's a good one. I like that interpretation. Man, he's fixed to get his bubble bursted, ain't he? So, when the chief baker saw that the interpretation was favorable, I wonder if it had been a bad interpretation. If he had done the baker first, I wonder if the cupbearer was like, no, I'm good. No. Just leave it alone. I don't want to know the future. But anyway, I digress. When the chief baker saw the interpretation was favorable, he said to Joseph, I also had a dream. There were three cake baskets on my head. Hey, we can get the three cake baskets now because we can look back at the other one, right? We kind of get an idea. So he probably had an idea that was a 3-day thing because he saw the interpretation full. We can see where it's going here. Three cake baskets on your head. And the uppermost basket, there was all sorts of baked good for Pharaoh. Oh, good. I'm carrying baskets to Pharaoh, right? This is a good interpretation so far. But the birds were eating out of the baskets on my head. There's where it goes south. Joseph answered and said, this is the interpretation of the three baskets or 3 days. In 3 days, Pharaoh will lift up your head from you. Potiphar's going to come into the situation and cut the man's head off. That's what he's basically saying. He's going to lift up your head from you. He's going to kill you and hang you on a tree. And the birds will eat the flesh from you. That's not favorable at all, is it? That's not what he was expected to hear. So, on the third day, which was the Pharaoh's birthday. Just amazing how these numbers and everything line up. Man, God is so good. He lines everything up to make it work right. On the third day, which was Pharaoh's birthday, he made a feast for all the servants and lifted up their head of the chief cupbearer and the head of the chief baker among his servants. He called these two men in this thing. He's like, okay, this is, he lifted them back up and he said, he restored the chief cupbearer to his position and placed the cup in Pharaoh's hands, just as the vision said, right? And he hanged the chief baker as Joseph had interpretation of them. And then it goes on to say, yet the chief cupbearer did not remember, but forgot him. And all the adulation that was going on, and all the happiness that was going on, he forgot what Joseph had done for him. It's so easy to forget about that stuff. Whenever good things happen, boy, it's kind of like when you're a boss. It's real easy to correct somebody, is it not? In the situation where bad things happen, you have to correct individuals. You did this wrong. You didn't do this way. We can't have you here anymore. Whatever the situation may be, whatever correction may be needed. But it's how many times do we actually, when somebody does something right, that we glorify that particular thing? We don't do that so much anymore, right? Do we? It's real easy to point out somebody's faults, but it's not easy, or it's not convenient, or we just forget about it in the situation. And whenever somebody does something good, we don't let them know what's going on with it. Whenever somebody does something to help us, it's human nature. It happens. Yes, sir. I'm not.
He don't want to mess his own position.
You know me. I don't like going and putting the things into other things. So I just look back into human nature as how we actually are.
Huh? That is human nature.
Yeah. So you could be right. Okay, so got a little more time. Good. We're rolling through this one. I'm through with 40 already. I figured I'd be through. Yes, ma'am. But he never gives up on God, does he? And that's the special thing about Joseph. Joseph never gave up on God here. Cool, let's go on. After 2 years, 2 years, he's been languishing in prison for 2 more years. Guess what? God's going to intervene. God has been preparing him, right? Do you ever think that God has been preparing him all through everything he's done and growing him up and putting him into positions and teaching him? God has been, sometimes when we're going through the hard things in life, sometimes God's using those things to grow us up to we can be used whenever the time comes right. Okay? So don't ever think that when your bad things are happening to you, understand, sometimes we have to be disciplined from what we're doing wrong so God can use us later on. Okay? Or sometimes we just need to grow. Sometimes God is in testing us and seeing if we're going to stand true, although he already knows what the finish from the beginning, okay? So that would be a bad analogy. He's testing us to see He already knows what's going on, but maybe he's testing us so we can see. Maybe he's testing us so we can figure out just how far we can go. You know, you do this. No, I'm going to exercise analogy, but Mike doesn't like exercise, so he says exercise does not. What's your verse, Mike? There you go. Bodily exercise profiteth little. That's his favorite verse in the Bible whenever I talk about exercise. Anyway, okay, I digress. Let's get back into it. But anyway, he's had Pharaoh's had him in the prison for 2 years, but God has been maturing this young kid. He has been growing him up. He has been training him all throughout time. You don't think that God putting him in a position to run Potiphar's house was not training? Do you think God putting him in his position to run the things going on in the prison was not training? Guess what he's fixing to do? He's fixing to run Egypt. He has been training to do this sort of stuff. And you don't even see it. So, in 2 years, Pharaoh dreamed that he was standing by the Nile, and behold, there came up out of the Nile 7 cows, attractive and plumped, and they fed in reed grass. And behold, 7 other cows, ugly and thin, came up out of the Nile after them, stood by the other cows on the bank of the Nile. The ugly and thin cows ate up the 7 attractive plump cows, and the Pharaoh awoke. He's like, I could just see this. He's like, what did I eat last night? So he went back to sleep. He's like, I got to get some more sleep. So he fell back asleep and dreamed a second time. Behold, 7 ears of grain, plump and good, were growing on one stalk. And behold, after them sprouted 7 ears of thin and blighted by the east wind. And the thin ears swallowed up the 7 plump full ears. And Pharaoh awoke, and behold, it was a dream. By this time, Pharaoh's, you know, this is a dreaming culture, okay? They took credit of their dreams. By this time, he's like, somebody's trying to tell me something. So in the morning, his spirit was troubled, and he sent and called for the magicians of Egypt and all its wise men, the people that are supposed to be able to interpret dreams, right? He's going to get all the smart people, all the magicians. And Pharaoh told them the dream, but there was none that could interpret it for him. I could just hear, well, it could be this. Well, it might be this. But nobody can interpret the dream for him, okay? I'm sure that there was people out there that tried. But it was like, no, this ain't no good. So, nobody could interpret the dream for him. Then the chief cupbearer spoke up and said, I remember my offenses today. I remember when I got in trouble way back when. Maybe God called it to his memory. He remembered that day when Pharaoh was angry with his servants and put me in the chief baker into custody in the house of the captain of the guard. We dreamed the same night, he and I, each having a dream with its own interpretation. A young Hebrew was there with us, a servant of the captain of the guard. When we told him, he interpreted our dreams, giving us an interpretation to each man according to his dream. So he's telling the story of exactly what we talked about a while ago. Okay, so I don't want to reiterate that. We've already been through that. And the interpretation to us so came about, I was restored to my office, and the baker was hanged. Now, there's the important thing that he's trying to tell us. Hey, this kid, this Hebrew young kid, He told us what the dream, he told us what the interpretation of the dream was. And guess what? It happened exactly as he said. Okay? Now, the Pharaoh said, okay, I may have something here. So what did the Pharaoh do? The Pharaoh called, sent and called Joseph. They quickly brought him out of the pit. So this was not a really a clean, this was a, I could just imagine the jails being like this dugout area with fences all around and everything being nasty and all that other stuff. I just imagine in my mind's eye, I can see that. So they brought him out, and when they had shaved him and changed his clothes, he came before Pharaoh. So what did they have to do? They had to dress, they had to clean him up. He probably looked a little bit worse for the wear being down in the pit all this time, okay? He could have a beard all over, you know, scraggly on his face, maybe down here, who knows, 30-year-old. I don't know how much of a beard a 30-year-old can wear, but if most 30-year-olds would have beards, they shouldn't. Because, you know, they're patchy and there's, yes, sir. Mood faces. Yeah. When you see whiskers on my face, it's a sign of laziness. That means I didn't feel like shaving that morning. Now, when you see Wesley, that means that his hair has moved down from the top and moved to his chin. Anyway, okay, I'm jesting now. Let's get back to it. He's like, and Pharaoh said to Joseph, I had a dream. Or I have a dream, and there is no one here to interpret it. And I have heard said that when you hear dreams, you can interpret it. Now, the normal man would say, yes, sir, I can. Right? Yeah, I can do that. Not a problem. That's not his response, right? His response, and this is where we show that he's a man of God. Joseph said to Pharaoh, it's not me. It's not, I can't do it personally. I can see that. I can hear him, oh, you can't? I can just see his countenance drop. He's like, it's not me. God will give Pharaoh a favorable answer. It's not me. I can't do this, but God can do it. God can do this. This is nothing that I can do. So Pharaoh said to Joseph, behold, in my dream was standing on the bank of the Nile, 7 cows, plump and attractive, came up out of the Nile and fed on the reed grass. 7 other cows came up after them, poor and very ugly and thin, such as I have never seen in all the land of Egypt. Never seen a cow this thin. I can just imagine these cows, just bones. Skin on bones, okay? When I look at the cows, I could just imagine he's seeing cows like humans in concentration camps back during World War II. That's what I picture when he has these putrid cows that can't even, you know, you think to yourself, how do they even have the strength to walk? That's what I see in my mind's eye. So, what happened? He said the thin, ugly cows ate up the first 7 plump cows. Well, I couldn't imagine that either way, a cow eating another cow. But they ate up the other cows. But when they had eaten them, no one would have known that they had eaten them, for they were still ugly as the beginning. Then I woke. So even after they had eaten them, they didn't put on any weight like they ate anything. They were still just as thin and bony, as ugly as they originally started. Wait a second, if they had eaten something, maybe they should have put on some weight. But they didn't. And then he woke up. So he tells the second dream. Also, in my dream, 7 ears of corn growing on one stalk, full and good. 7 years withered, thin, blighted by the east wind, sprouted after them. And the thin ears swallowed up the 7 good ears, and I told the magicians, and there was no one here that could explain it to me. No one here that could tell me what was going on. Now, we look at the two dreams. The dreams, you can tell by the two dreams that they're both the same dream. They're two sides of the same dream, okay? Because basically they're talking either growing stuff or animals. So with the magicians, they could not explain to me this. So Joseph said to Pharaoh, the dream of Pharaoh are one. They're the same. They have the same mean. They're told in two different contexts. So he told the dreams of Pharaoh are one. God has revealed to Pharaoh what he is about to do. Now he's like, I'm not revealing this. God told you that in a dream. I'm just telling you what it meant. Understand, Pharaoh's like, well, God even spoke to me. So God had revealed to Pharaoh what he's about to do. 7 good cows are 7 years. And the 7 good ears are 7 years. The dreams are one. 7 lean, ugly cows came up at them are 7 years. And 7 empty ears, 7 empty ears blighted by the east wind are also 7 years of famine. Okay, so he's saying that the 7, the good cows are 7 years of plenty, and the bad cows are 7 years of famine, the same as the corn. The 7 ears of corn are good years, the 7 ears of blighted corn are bad years, okay, a famine that's coming to the land. God is warning you, God is telling you, oh, Pharaoh, exactly what he's going to do. He's giving you some insight. So Pharaoh, 28. As I told Pharaoh, God has showed Pharaoh that he is what he's about to do. There will be 7 years of great plenty throughout all Egypt. But after then there will arise 7 years of famine, and all the plenty will be forgotten in all the land of Egypt. That's the reason why you see the cows, after they eat something, they're still thin. And what he's saying is that regardless of how much you do, it's going to hit everybody. There will be this famine be so wide, it doesn't matter how much food you think you have, you're going to experience this famine. So after them, there will be 7 years of famine, and all the plenty will be forgotten in Egypt. The famine will consume the land, and the plenty will be unknown in the land by reason of the famine that will follow, for it will be so severe. You'll forget about the good years because the bad years are coming. And the doubting of Pharaoh's dreams means that the doubling of Pharaoh's dreams means the thing is fixed by God and will shortly be brought about. In other words, he told you twice to sink it into your thick skull that it's going to happen and ain't going to happen too far away. Now, therefore, let Pharaoh select a discerning and wise man and set him over the land of Egypt. Let Pharaoh proceed to appoint overseers over the land and take 1/5 of produce from the land during the 7 years of plentiful, or 7 plentiful years. And let them gather all the food of these goods that are coming and store up the grain under the authority of Pharaoh for food in the cities, and let them keep it. That food shall be reserved for the land against the 7 years of famine that will occur in the land of Egypt, so that the land may not perish through famine. Now, this is not part of the dream, right? Evidently, God had given him the blueprint to survive in the famine. I can just say it, the prepper's guide to survive in the famine by God. And later on, we know that Pharaoh was supposed to be a god. I don't know if at this particular time in history they would consider him a god or not. So. Yeah. Now, this proposal pleased the Pharaoh and all his servants. They're like, that sounds like a good idea. Man, this guy, he has it going on. I think God has been bringing him up for this sort of stuff, okay? And Pharaoh said to his servants, can we find a man like this in whom the spirit of God? He has already said that this man has the spirit of God in him. Can we find any other man out there whom is the spirit of God? The Pharaoh said to Joseph, since God has shown you all this, there is none discerning as wise as you are. You shall be over my house and over my people, over my house, and all my people shall order themselves as you command. Only as regards to the throne will I be greater than you. Pharaoh said to Joseph, see, I have set over you all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh took his signet ring from his hand and put it on Joseph's hand, clothed them in garments of fine linen, and put a gold net chain around his neck. The signet ring was something you pushed into the clay to show that it was from the Pharaoh. The garments was stuff wore by royalty, and the chain was a chain of office. Okay? He had made him number two in the land. Every time Joseph gets to some place, he becomes number two. Never number one, always number two. Not a bad place to be in. Anyway, he took the signet ring, put it around there, okay. And he made him ride in his second chariot, and they called out before him, bow the knee. Thus he is set over all the land of Egypt. Moreover, Pharaoh said to Joseph, I am Pharaoh, and without your consent, no one shall lift up a hand or a foot in all the land of Egypt. We're going to start back at 41:37 next week because that's kind of a good starting point, and I'm running out of time, and I'm not going to get through the rest of it. So stop me at 41:37, and we'll jump back in there next week. That's a good starting point. Has anybody got anything else we want to talk about this morning? This is really simple stuff, is it not? Yes, sir.
I wonder what Potiphar's wife. He not only caused this guy to go to prison, sometimes now he's number two. When her husband comes in and says, no, I hope he doesn't ask me anything because I don't have any choice.
Well, and understand that if your what stuff you read was right, Potiphar was still over him at the prison, right? Potiphar knew Joseph and knew that he thought, anyway, and so that's a possibility. That's exactly what they said it was going to do to him, isn't it? It didn't say, when we say he hung him, that doesn't mean he hung him by the neck of Toledo. That's what we think, right? Anybody got anything else? Wes, would you close us out in prayer this morning, sir?